Microsoft keeps failing over and over. Internet Explorer, Microsoft Edge, Windows Phone, Teams, Bing, Xbox One, most versions of Windows, and many more colossal flops. Tens of billions of dollars wasted. I mean, they spent $8.5 billion on Skype alone, but then built a competitor and are now shutting it down altogether. But then, how is Microsoft a $3 trillion company despite failing so badly and so often? There's something else going on. Beneath these many failures, Microsoft has done something entirely unique. This is how Microsoft wins while it somehow sucks at everything. So, just how many massive missteps are there at Microsoft? Well, one that comes to mind for most is Internet Explorer. In 2003, it controlled 95% of web browser usage. 95%! Even Chrome isn't that dominant today. Yet, in the mid-2000s and early 2010s, Internet Explorer completely faded into obscurity. By 2021, it had less than 1% market share before it was soon shut down. Despite numerous competitors popping up, Microsoft didn't care. Updates were few and far between, usually years apart. In the first 10 years, Chrome had 70 updates. Internet Explorer only had 4. Naturally, the browser became slower and slower and had worse security. Not only that, Microsoft ignored the World Wide Web Consortium guidelines that Firefox and Chrome adopted, so pages on Internet Explorer looked terrible. By the time Microsoft had realized their mistakes, it was too late. When they finally released a new browser, Edge, it only managed to capture a couple of percent of the market. It had its own engine too initially, Edge HTML, but after a couple of years, they gave in and changed Edge to being based on Chromium, the standard for many other browsers. And that's not even mentioning Microsoft's other Google competitor, Bing, an alternative search engine which most people just use to search for Google. It's easy to laugh at Bing, but when looking at the financials, things become less funny and more depressing. Between its launch in 2009 and 2011, Bing lost Microsoft over $5 billion, and from 2011, it was losing a billion a quarter. In 2023, Microsoft admitted that it had invested over $100 billion into Bing's search engine, yet has sat around 4% market share for what seems like an eternity. Browser failures and search engines are one thing, but they're nothing compared to Microsoft's other blunders. After two highly successful console generations, Microsoft released the Xbox One, but this one was a bit different. It came with a Kinect, a massive, expensive motion capture device. It had to always be connected to the internet, there were very few games for the console, and it was very expensive at $499 or $670 in 2024 dollars. About a $100 premium over the PlayStation 4, which was notably better for most people. When it was revealed, they talked about the technology, the features, the bells and whistles, but not much about the actual games. Not only that, they bundled the Kinect that people didn't want, which drove up the price. The PS4, however, was all about exclusive, groundbreaking games that you couldn't get anywhere else. But the Xbox One was confusing, and it wasn't clear if you could share games like you could before. Naturally, Sony wasn't going to let this opportunity go to waste.
This is how you share your games on PS4.
Thanks.
PlayStation.
Unsurprisingly, the Xbox One flopped hard. In its total lifespan, it sold less than half the units of the PS4. Yet, simultaneously, Microsoft was struggling in another major area. With the explosion of the smartphone, Microsoft wanted in. They wanted to be the third player between Apple and Android. So, they partnered with Nokia to create a new platform, the Windows Phone. In a 2011 press release, Microsoft stated that, with the contributions that Nokia is providing, Nokia will receive payments measured in the billions of dollars. Nokia would handle the R&D, produce the hardware and the marketing, but use the Windows OS exclusively. Soon, Nokia released the Lumia series operating on the Windows OS, and it all collapsed before their very eyes. Compared to iPhone and Android, the interface was unintuitive and clunky. I mean, just take a look at how it looks. Not only that, it for some reason had a no front camera, and due to its late introduction, very few apps. But to make matters worse, while competitors were adopting quad-core processors, the early Lumia phones were still running on dual-core chips. And the earliest were even on single-core processors due to the restrictions of the Windows OS. They felt underpowered in comparison. By 2016, just a few years after launch, the Lumia was discontinued. The Windows phone didn't gain much momentum, but it had cost Microsoft billions. Though, what's especially baffling to me is Microsoft's blunder with Skype. It's easy to forget now, but in 2003, Skype really did change the world. You could video chat and message friends online with just your email address, and it was free. This was before Facebook and long before FaceTime. This really was a revolutionary platform. By 2011, Skype had grown to a total of 663 million signups and 170 million active users, at growth of 40% year over year. That number is growing by 600,000 new registrations every day. Their reported revenue for the previous year was $860 million. That year, Microsoft announced it would acquire Skype for $8.5 billion. But there's something strange about this. Just 3 years earlier, eBay, who previously owned Skype, sold a majority stake in the company for only $2.75 billion. Not only that, Skype hadn't been profitable since 2003, but Microsoft was paying about 10 times their annual revenue. What's even stranger is how they handled this massive purchase. Microsoft integrated Skype into their wide bundle of products on Windows, Outlook, and even the Xbox. But then, their attention was drawn elsewhere. As Slack took off in the business space, they pivoted Skype to being a Slack competitor after deliberating over buying Slack. This didn't work out, so they built an entirely new platform to offer in the Office suite, Teams. Though Skype Business was still a thing, so they now had two business calling and messaging solutions. So, they walked back Skype to be for private calls for friends and family, but by this time, they weren't so unique. There was Discord, Zoom, FaceTime, and so many more. It really seemed like Microsoft was unsure with what to do with Skype. They had paid nearly $10 billion for it, but had built a better platform and a competitor to it. Then, just recently in March of 2025, Microsoft announced the shutdown of Skype, shifting their focus to Teams. Microsoft keeps failing over and over, and these failures have cumulatively cost them hundreds of billions. So, what's going on? Well, as it turns out, there's more to this. During this long timeline of missteps, something interesting has happened. As tech workers and enthusiasts, I'm sure many of you know the struggle of working with legacy ERP and CRM systems. Slow, clunky interfaces, overpriced contracts, and integrations that feel like they were designed in the early 2000s. You've probably thought there must be a better way, and that's why I'm excited about today's video sponsor, Odoo. Odoo is the modern all-in-one solution that actually makes business management easier, not harder. Odoo gives you a full suite of integrated apps covering CRM, sales, inventory, accounting, and even manufacturing, all in one seamless platform. Odoo lets you pick only the apps you need and scale as your business grows. And if you want to try out just one app like inventory management or invoicing, Odoo lets you pick only the apps you need and scale as your business grows. And if you just want to try out one app like inventory management or invoicing, it's completely free, no credit card required. You can also say goodbye to outdated interfaces and endless training sessions. Odoo is designed for the 21st century with a clean, modern UI that makes navigation easy. For example, need to track production in real time? Odoo's MRP system handles production planning, scheduling, and inventory tracking, keeping everything running smoothly. Odoo also automates time-consuming tasks, from lead scoring in CRM to AI-powered invoice processing in accounting, meaning your business can move faster with fewer errors. Whether you're a startup or an enterprise, Odoo grows with you. It streamlines complex business operations without the bloat of legacy systems, so you can focus on what really matters. Stop fighting with outdated ERP systems. Try Odoo for free for 14 days. No credit card required. Click the link in the description and see how Odoo can streamline your business today. Thank you to Odoo for sponsoring this video. Back in the day, Microsoft had very different leadership. There was Bill Gates, but also someone else, Steve Ballmer, the CEO who replaced Gates. These two were crucial parts of Microsoft's success, and I'd argue its failures. Their leadership style could be described in two words, closed and defensive. For one, they used the highly controversial Vitality Curve Management System, or its more appropriate name, Rank and Yank. The best employees were ranked against one another, and it was designed to squeeze top performers as much as they could, but instead of boosting productivity, it boosted internal sabotage. Past executives noted that superstars did everything they could to avoid working alongside other top-notch developers, out of fear that they would hurt in the rankings. Microsoft employees not only tried to do a good job, but also worked hard to make sure their colleagues did not. When your employees are only focused on climbing the ladder and not the company's success, innovation goes down. Not only that, past employees tried to sue Microsoft for this terrible practice. It was so bad that the vitality curve was kept secret. Non-management staff were supposed to pretend it didn't exist. But it goes much further than just management. While at the center of many, many antitrust battles with the US government, Bill Gates was described as evasive and non-responsive, and would even argue over the definition of words like compete, concerned, ask, and we. But soon, the US Department of Justice found something damning. Gates' secret but now famous strategy was embrace, extend, and exterminate. In an internal 1998 memo, Gates stated that, allowing office documents to be rendered very well by other people's browsers is one of the most destructive things we could do to the company. We have to stop putting any effort into this and to make sure that office documents very well depend on proprietary IE capabilities. Anything else is suicide for our platform. In Gates' mind, the only products that should exist were Microsoft's. Ballmer also likened Linux to a kind of cancer on intellectual property, while suing Linux for running a version of Windows. He also laughed at the iPhone when it was announced.
Contraction, then Steve Jobs goes to Macworld and he pulls out this iPhone. What was your first reaction when you saw that?
$500, fully subsidized with a plan? I said, that is the most expensive phone in the world, and it doesn't appeal to business customers because it doesn't have a keyboard, which makes it not a very good email machine.
Now, a true visionary. He's also the man from the famous Microsoft press conferences. But what's really surprising is what happened next. Satya Nadella replaced Ballmer as CEO in 2014, and his philosophy was very, very different. The following year, Microsoft changed their mission statement, empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. Very positive, but also very corporate speak. But what did Nadella actually mean? His goal was to change Microsoft from a place where people were know-it-alls to create a learn-it-all culture. He encouraged employees to embrace failures as learning opportunities, and that leaders need to empower their teams and not just manage them. A complete opposite to the vitality curve. This all sounds good, but only if it's actually carried out. But after Nadella took over, something interesting happened. They kept failing, sure, but their attitude changed completely.
We're not in the business of out-consoling Sony or out-consoling Nintendo. There isn't really a great solution or win for us. And I know that will upset a ton of people. We lost the worst generation to lose in the Xbox One generation, where everybody built their digital library of games.
Microsoft started to be way more transparent about their failures. In 2017, they killed off the Windows Phone, but later, when asked about regrets, Nadella openly admitted that, in retrospect, I think there could have been ways we could have made it work by perhaps reinventing the category of computing between PCs, tablets, and phones. This was insane. The CEO of one of the world's biggest companies admitting a mistake? Microsoft really was treating failure as a learning opportunity. Back when they introduced Edge, it used a custom engine called Edge HTML compared to the Chromium engine, Blink. I respect Microsoft for trying to disrupt browser space, but after a while, things didn't work out, so they adopted the Chromium model for Edge, which was open source. They said this was to create better web compatibility for our customers and less fragmentation for developers. Also, Microsoft now loves Linux. In fact, they literally have an article on their official website about how they love Linux and how they use Linux for their own servers. And that's not all. In 2015, when displaying Microsoft's products on mobile, Nadella showed them on an iPhone, and this was before they killed off the Windows Phone too. I'm going to first start on this iPhone, and it's not my phone, but it is an iPhone, he said. This might seem like nothing, but it was essentially Nadella surrendering the smartphone war before the phone was killed off. In the corporate world, you usually never acknowledge competitors, unless it's in a negative way. Just a few years prior, this would have never happened. Microsoft would have only used the Windows Phone and talked about how it was still going to change the world or something. If you needed any more convincing of the change at Microsoft, look at this image. A slide Nadella showed during a press conference, and their official blog stated, "Wow, what a great slide and what a change for Microsoft." This is a total 180 to Ballmer's comment from years back in Microsoft's previous stance. For context, this has to do with their enterprise cloud product, Azure. And shockingly, Microsoft's engineers openly admitted that Linux usage on their cloud has surpassed Windows. It shows us something fascinating. They're willing to surrender and go with what the market has decided. Nadella and Microsoft have such a mature outlook, but the question is, why? Why do they keep failing and why are they so open about it? Is this culture actually helpful? Well, I have a theory as to why. Microsoft's secret is that they're great at losing. It sounds weird, but it's actually crucial in business. You can't win every time, but many giants will cling on to their bad investment due to the sunk cost fallacy and never ever openly admit that they made a mistake, saying, "Our product is a strong competitor. We are committed to pleasing our shareholders, blah blah blah, even if the product is crashing and burning." But Microsoft, the biggest, most corporate company, seems to be doing the exact opposite. In Nadella's book, Hit Refresh, he states that, "We need to be willing to lean into uncertainty, to take risks, and to move quickly when we make mistakes. Recognizing failure happens along the way to mastery." But admitting failure all the time would be a problem if they weren't great at pivoting after losing. They overpaid for Skype, but when it wasn't working, they built Microsoft Teams instead. Edge HTML wasn't working, so they adopted Chromium. Xbox One was terrible, so they moved away from consoles to Game Pass. Not only that, they seem to have a lot of products that are worse or losing to the market leaders. Teams to Slack or Zoom, Bing to Google, Azure to AWS, Xbox to PlayStation, Edge to Chrome, OneDrive to Google Drive, Cortana to Siri, the Microsoft Surface to the Apple iPad. They seem to be losing in every market. So how are they a $3 trillion company and still bigger than almost all these competitors despite losing to them? There's a big, big elephant in the room: Windows and the Office Suite. These bring in what I like to call stupid money. Not just great revenue, stupid revenue, billions upon billions. Microsoft can afford to lose in so many races because they have such massive cash cows. The Lumia failure almost killed Nokia, but was a tiny footnote for Microsoft. But even then, there's something else going on. When Satya Nadella became CEO, he began pushing cloud and enterprise very hard. Solutions for Business and Azure, the cloud competitor to AWS. It makes sense since he was previously the executive vice president of this sector at Microsoft, but it shows us another part of the answer. Microsoft competes on size. Ironically, their competitive advantage is how big they are. They have so many products in so many industries, but what they're great at is bundling them together. Teams might not be as good as Zoom, but when you look at the value you get with many, many other products alongside it, having second best doesn't seem so bad. Also, as a company, you don't have to deal with a bunch of back-end vendors. You can just have everything go through Microsoft and the people that you already know. Azure has been behind AWS for a while, but they're catching up. Bing is miles away from Google, but Azure is within 10% of AWS. And now, they're leveraging their size even more by integrating AI functions from ChatGPT. I think this also explains why they're so honest about failure. Consumer markets tend to be more interested in hype and emotion, but enterprise markets, aka other businesses, are totally different. Things are more pragmatic and relationship-driven. These customers want hard facts and strong connections. Compared to a consumer who buys a product once or twice, business relationships are much closer and usually long-term. Just think about it. If you only have 2 customers instead of 2,000, the relationship is going to be very, very different. So when Microsoft is upfront about failures and explains how it's improving or changing, it's not always seen as a turnoff. The old Microsoft was defensive, but the new Microsoft is pragmatic. Remember how Google's mission statement used to be, "Don't be evil," before they removed it? Well, I think Google and Microsoft have somewhat traded places. Microsoft used to be, frankly, quite evil. Are they perfect now? Of course not, just look at all the problems with Windows 11. But I think the heart of the business has changed for the better. Now it's Google that's the one that's way behind in the AI race. They win by the sheer volume of their offerings and business relationships. And now they're beginning to move ahead. Azure is getting very close to AWS, and Microsoft is winning the AI race against Google, who is ironically looking more like the older Microsoft. Microsoft succeeds at many things quietly, but fails loudly. If failing at everything still gets you over a $3 trillion valuation, you're clearly succeeding at something. The same cannot be said about one of Microsoft's biggest historical partners, Intel. They recently bet $100 billion on trying to catch up to TSMC and AMD and ended up losing everything. Check out this video to learn more, but until then, I'm Hari and I'll see you guys on the next one.